Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you gotta do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Here's what we have in store for you on this June 11th, 2013 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, Bloomberg is calling free speech a terrorist act. Then, traitor or hero?
He's a traitor.
The feds want to portray whistleblower Edward Snowden as a Chinese intelligence operative. Plus, sorting out the scandals in Washington. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline. Effort to portray NSA whistleblower Snowden as Chinese intelligence operative underway.
That he chose Hong Kong in which to flee to find safe haven tells you what?
Well, here's the problem is that Hong Kong is controlled by Chinese intelligence. It's not an independent part of China at all. You know, I've talked to a bunch of people in Washington today in official positions, and they're looking at this as a potential Chinese espionage case. On the face of it, it looks like it's under some sort of Chinese control.
Yes, he's talking to some guys in Washington under official positions who say because this guy was in China, he must be some type of Chinese operative. He's not an American who is just fleeing for his own safety. He's now in conflict with some very powerful people. Of course, Mr. Snowden is the whistleblower who brought you the news of Verizon, how they're spying on their customers. I'm pretty sure it's much more than Verizon, but that's the information he was able to attain for himself. Worked for the NSA for a number of years, also has some CIA connections. He said, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. I'm going to put this information out there for the American people. In the interview with Mr. Snowden, you guys can find it online, he says his biggest fear is that the American people will do nothing with this information. I'm sure is the fear of people such as Bradley Manning, who's also in the same type of category. You know, he blows the whistle, him and also Bradley Manning. You know, they're trying to get this information out to the American people, and people don't care. These guys like Manning and Snowden are also being called traitors.
He's a traitor. The president outlined last week that these are important national security programs to help keep Americans safe and give us tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face. The disclosure of this information puts Americans at risk. It shows our adversaries, what our capabilities are, and it's a giant violation of the law.
And I'm curious as to how this makes me or you or anybody else more unsafe by saying that Verizon is spying on your calls. That makes you unsafe somehow. I'm not exactly sure the logic Mr. Boehner has, and I'm pretty sure there are other people such as himself who think that they're doing, you know, God's work by spying on you and your family, but that's just how they seem to justify their actions. And of course, I view guys like Manning and Snowden as heroes. Many people have different views, and if I could say anything to Mr. Snowden, the only thing I could say, bro, is like sincerely, you may want to try to get in touch with a guy like McAfee, because he was good at evading certain situations. I'm not advocating any type of criminal activity, but just something to think about. We'll move on to our next story. Most Americans support being spied on by the NSA. This by our very own Paul Joseph Watson. A majority of Americans, 56%, say that the National Security Agency's program tracking the telephone records of millions of Americans is acceptable for the government to investigate their terrorism actions, reports the Pew Research Center. A comparison with a previous poll in January of 2006 highlights the fact that more Americans are now more likely to support NSA surveillance despite a huge scandal it caused for the Bush administration. Under Bush, 47% found the NSA wiretapping of Americans unacceptable, whereas 41% find it acceptable under Obama, unacceptable under Obama. So this is just an example of, you know, when it's your guy in, you know, everything's fine. You know, you have all these people now who are cheering on Obama, but they were screaming bloody murder during the Bush administration for Guantanamo Bay and the torture and the wiretapping and the this and it's that. But now when it's Obama, when it's your guy in, and I'm not, you know, rooting for either one of these guys, Obama or Bush or, you know, whoever may happen to be next. But, you know, when it's your guy in, nobody seems to care. You know, I just don't understand this mentality, because even if you do, let's say you are an Obama supporter and you think it's great or you don't care, or you think he knows best because he's your daddy, like Chris Rock says, and, you know, he's just trying to keep you safe. Well, what about when the next Republican gets in? Are you going to trust him with these pirates? Of course you're not. But, you know, people so soon forget what's going on in this country. And on more on that, we have John Brown breaking down all these scandals all week long for you here. And he's going to talk to you today about the DOJ and also the AP. But we have so many scandals to keep track of, so he's going to help us do that.
It was revealed that the Justice Department obtained telephone records for more than 20 Associated Press reporters and editors over a two-month period. These requests appear to be very broad and intersect important First Amendment protections. Any abridgment of the First Amendment right to the freedom of the press is very concerning, and members of the committee want to hear an explanation today.
Well, this is an ongoing investigation. I would not want to reveal what I know, and I don't know if there are other people who have been developed as possible recipients or possessors of that information during the course of the investigation. I don't know.
No, I'm trying to find out who authorized the subpoena.
We're talking about 100 or more journalists whose private lives and professional lives were tapped into. This, to me, is inexcusable, and it's trampling on the Constitution.
In these 20 phone lines over 2 months, thousands of calls would have been made that would encompass more than 100 journalists.
We now know that the FBI investigators in this case not only seized James Rosen's phone records, they went through and read his emails, they tracked his comings and goings inside the State Department. Does the President approve of that kind of action by the Justice Department?
He is a strong defender of the First Amendment and a firm believer in the need for the press to be able to conduct investigative reporting and facilitate a free flow of information.
Even if the Attorney General ruled out that he was going to prosecute Rosen, on the question of a potential prosecution, he said, quote, "This is not something I've ever been involved in, heard of." We know he was involved in it, at the very least. That's the question. Was he not telling the truth on that point? He was involved in it.
Involved in what?
He signed off on the search warrant.
He may even give us an uninvited
code. Are you not involved after signing off on
the
search warrant?
Again, I refer you to the Justice Department.
I'm a little concerned that things have gotten a little out of whack, in the sense that I think that our rules and regulations need to both be updated and need to reflect in a better way, just personally for me, need to reflect in a better way the striking of that balance.
We have the documents now, and the seized toll records relate to James' parents' home in Staten Island.
It's unbelievable. But this began when the administration tried to read Fox News out of the White House press pool. You had a politician determining what is and what is not a news organization, and by and large, the press stood still and allowed that to happen.
And you still have full confidence in your attorney general? Should we interpret yesterday's renewed interest by the White House in a media shield law as a response to that? And more broadly, how do you feel about comparisons by some of your critics of this week's scandals to those that happened under the Nixon administration?
Well, yeah, I'll let you guys engage in those comparisons. You can go ahead and read the history, I think, and draw your own conclusions.
Thank you, John Brown. And like I said, we will be bringing you those all week long. And we'll move on to our next topic. Bloomberg, Alex Jones's free speech causes terrorism. Now, Bloomberg is just another in a very long list of people who want to pick fights with Alex Jones in the InfoWar. Let's see what this is about. Now, this article is based on Alex Jones sells gold on Sirius with bombing conspiracies. The innumerable exaggerations, half-truths, and outright lies contained in this piece are seemingly a part of a template to pressure Sirius XM and Clear Channel into dropping Jones's radio show, which according to Jones is already being discussed behind the scenes. It is clear that the power structure is afraid of Alex Jones and the fact that his listenership is increasing because InfoWars has been proven right. And you say, how have you been proven right, InfoWars? Well, let's just think back to the Boston bombing, and we have guys like Dan Bondi out there asking real questions such as, why was the alleged backpack that the bomb was in not match the backpack that the younger brother was wearing at the time? And then we didn't even get the excuse from the FBI. We got it from another news agency that they were pulling backpacks out of backpacks. Also, how could a bomb-sniffing dog not find a bomb at the finish line? Now, I can understand you may miss a bomb at, you know, mile 17 or mile number 11, but right there at the finish line, how do you not catch that? And also the footage, or should I say the photographs, of the people with the Punisher hats, the skull logos, wearing the exact same backpack that was detonated. I mean, it's just real questions, and that's how we've been proven right. We'll go back to the article here. Let's move down to the last quote. The article essentially sends the message that free speech causes terrorism and that Alex Jones's free speech should be curtailed because he is provocateuring terrorist. Now, okay, so the brothers, or at least one of the brothers, the family of the alleged bombers, you know, they like listening to the show. They like the InfoWars Nightly News, as well as many other law-abiding people. I'm not saying they were necessarily law-abiding, but there are other people who break no laws, have no parking violations or anything, who like watching this show. But because they did, it somehow links us in with their, you know, alleged criminal activity. You know, the aunt was on the show. She says she enjoys the show. That's all well and good. That doesn't mean that you're a criminal for liking this show. And it's just another hit piece. You know, like the guys, they keep coming. They bring Alex on the BBC, and then they try to make fun of him and ask him all kinds of silly questions, admit they're trying to get some type of reaction out of them, out of Alex. We got that on camera. You can go watch that on the Alex Jones YouTube page, as well as many other Bloomberg, Bilderberg highlights. We don't have any Bloomberg highlights on this show. We'll move on now. British police use anti-terror moves to arrest protesters. If you think this is something new, it's definitely not. Just think about Occupy, the situation in Turkey, as well as many other places. We'll go down to the article. Now, this is an anti-G8 group. The Carnival Against Capitalism was planned for noon today as a kickoff event for the week of protest in the capital before Britain hosts a Group of Eight summit in the Northern Ireland next week. I messed that sentence all up. The Carnival Against Capitalism was planned for noon today as the kickoff event for a week of protest in the capital before Britain hosts the Group of Eight summit in Northern Ireland next week. There's a warrant being executed there. Our protest liaison teams are actively working to engage with those wishing to protest so that we can facilitate peaceful protests. And we'll move down a little bit to the next paragraph. Prior to protest, the group released an action map where 100 locations in the West End connected to a blatant murder, oppression, and exploitation would be targeted. And for more on this, we go now to Ms. Leanne McAdoo, who actually wrote this article. Now, Leanne, this is one of your newer articles. How many articles have you written for us?
That's number two.
Number two, okay. So number two, and you're already on the InfoWars Nightly News. So what more do you have to add to this article?
Well, we've been keeping up with the Twitter feed all day for the Stop G8 group, and apparently the police are denying that they use excessive force. But there are photographs, the police, there was about eight of them that had tackled this man on top of a roof and punched him in the nose. I mean, he wasn't going anywhere, so I think he was just trying to get away. And several people were taken away in the ambulance, saying that they were tasered. They used tear gas. The police were, like, rappelling from ropes down the side of the building.
Wow.
So there was a preemptive, they were ready to take in a lot of protesters there. So,
and we see these things going over and over again, like in Turkey, the woman with the red dress. We see these domestically with the Occupy movement. It's just excessive police force.
Right, and it's definitely, you know, something to sort of scare people from protesting, to really make them, you know, afraid to exercise their freedom to protest and to have free speech. And, you know, this was a lot different than what we experienced at Bilderberg, though. The police were... Initially, they were kind of, you know, puffed up and sort of exerting their power, but by the end of the weekend, they were all really nice, and so it was, it's a little different. I know that they pulled in police from four different counties.
Right.
So, as well as, I don't know if it was MI6 or FBI or something, there was some, you know, it wasn't just
some
the
big
local
out
police.
There.
Yeah, exactly. So
you bring up Bilderberg, and I'm glad you brought that up. Tell us, so you traveled over there, you know, with some of the other crew. You met Paul Watson and the Watson, well, I should say the Watson family.
The double
over there.
Watson.
Yeah, the double Watsons. So just in your travels, did you encounter any conflicts? We saw the video of you being frisked by the TSA. Did you have anything worse when that happened?
Nothing. I mean, the TSA frisk down was, you know, I'm just like, go for it. I just want to get in the country. And then once we got to the UK, they were actually, you know, they just asked us a series of questions and, you know, what are you reporting on? And it wasn't, you know, that difficult, but once we got there, we met a lot of people who were familiar with the show. So many people on the train knew who Alex was. A lot of the police officers that were there came up afterward and said, we love your show. We really appreciate what you're doing. You know, we're just doing our jobs, but, you know, we're just everyday people just like you. We just have, you know, mouths to feed and everything. So it was pretty interesting to see, you know, another side of the world.
Maybe you can clarify this for us. There's a clip of this lady. She was trying to interview Alex, and I guess you were filming as well. I believe she worked for the BBC, and she's like, I'm not going to film as long as she's standing there.
Yeah, I mean, she was a piece of work. I'll just say that, but... Mm-hmm. Basically, she was sent there to provoke Alex and to get that, you know, to get the sound bites that she needed to just, I'm not sure what their plan was because the BBC, they have, you know, so many different shows, but her show, her report was definitely going to be like, these people are crazy. This doesn't even exist.
Yeah, we saw the clips on BBC. They didn't show some of the more enlightened protests. They showed a guy dressed up as a clown, literally as a clown. They showed this guy with his little ventriloquist doll and some
exactly.
other things. So you think she was just out there to provoke Alex? Or at least she admitted that.
Well, she admitted that that's what she was out. And then as soon as she was done with Alex, I was kind of following her around because I knew she was up to no good. And I just was filming her. And I just saw her out of the corner. She went straight up to a gentleman that was like, you know, real long beard and camo and stuff. And she's just like, do you mind if I get an interview with you? You know, like going up to the people that are going to really talk about the more kind of out there conspiracy theories.
Right.
And, you know, those people are there and whatever, you know, God bless them. They were out there. We're all fighting the same fight. But it's like, just like you said, she goes and will find the clown or find something that where you want to say, oh, these people can't be taken seriously. But there was, I mean, there were the prime, there were
prime
people
minister.
There from Parliament mm-hmm. that were there and, you know, all kinds of, like, the AP came to report on it, The Guardian, Independent, BBC, other people, Charlie Skelton was there. I mean, there was a lot of journalists.
To cover this event that didn't happen.
Didn't
it had
exist.
No, it had no significance.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there making any type of backroom deals, nobody violating Logan Act. None of that happened.
Yeah, and this is, like, right, I mean, just that week, I think the day we got there or the day after we arrived, there was a huge lobbying scandal in the Parliament, and so they're having to revisit all the rules by which they, you know, conduct their lobbying and, like, what's allowed, what's not. And one of the things that's definitely not allowed is to meet with corporations and something where you have a vested interest behind closed doors, where you don't have your, like, state-appointed secretaries there taking minutes, mm-hmm. which is exactly what was going on. So that's why, you know, that was probably one of the big... victories of the trip was, you know, Bilderberg was covered in the mainstream media for the first time in however 60, 50 something years that it's been around.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of forced their hand in that, and they did come out and admit that, yes, it is real, and yes, we were there. And so that was a really big victory.
Now, what would you advise journalists, you know, because they see these big events, you know, what would be your advice to somebody who goes out to something like a Bilderberg or a G8 or any of these large events, you know, what do they need to do to be successful in their reporting?
Well, I would say just not be afraid to get in people's faces and ask them questions and then to follow through with leads. We had a lot of people there that sort of said that they had people that worked inside the Grove or things like that, that, you know, now we're having to follow up, and those reports will be coming afterward with people, you know, digging through the trash once the people leave, and as long as they didn't, well, they did actually send in a paper shredding company there to shred all their papers that
really?
weren't weren't important in their important meetings.
Yeah, the little doodles and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, little doodles. And so, yeah, but that's what you have to do and not be afraid to get kicked out of somewhere
We'll end on that note. Just tell us briefly your situation at the BBC when you actually got, I guess, escorted out of the building.
Yeah, it was a friendly, you know, the British are very civilized. It was a...
I'm just going to interrupt this story. We were watching, I think it was me and Dew and some other guys, and he was talking to Mr. Balls, and he's walking around, and he's like, Mr. Balls, you ever... I don't want to do a Watson voice, but you guys know what Watson sounds like.
Yeah.
He's like, Mr. Balls,
like,
you're violating this
Ed.
Law and you're violating that law. And dude was like, don't get too mad, Watson. Yeah, he's just so calm and cool.
Well, he wanted to really, you know, because we were supposed to just be staying in the green room and, you know, don't disturb the professionals and everything. So, and I was like, Watson, get out there, get him. So he takes the camera and he's like, hey, Ed, what's up? You know, just, he was trying to just kind of casually be cool. So, Ed, you know, Ed Balls, like, was thinking that he wasn't going to bombard him with the tough questions that
right.
everyone else was afraid to ask. Hey, you're violating this, your ministerial code of conduct. So what do you have to say about that? And he's just like, turn the camera off. And
yeah, and the lady shoved her hand.
She's like, I don't want to be on YouTube. And
well, it's just kind of hard in this day and age.
Too late.
Yeah. All right, Liam, we got to get on to the rest of the news, but thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to our next article. Off-duty cops collect DNA samples at Alabama roadblocks. Drivers were asked voluntarily to offer samples of saliva and blood for a study. I'm not sure what kind of study that is. The drivers were compensated for their samples. They say they've got these big signs up that say paid volunteer survey. And if we want to participate, they pull over and then they ask them the questions. And if they are willing to give a mouth swab, they give them $10. And if they are willing to give a blood sample, they give them $50. If they don't want to do anything, they just drive off. And the article goes on to say this is trying to get 75,000 participants from, you know, various areas around the country to participate in this study so they can track the number of people intoxicated or inebriated at, you know, whatever time. So let's say the example was from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. You know, the number of people who encountered this roadblock, you know, they can volunteer to give their saliva or their blood or, you know, whatever else that they are looking for. And then they say, you know, X number of people between these hours were foolish enough to, you know, pull over to this roadblock voluntarily and give us their DNA while they were high or drunk or whatever the case may be. And my thought on this, if they wanted just to have random people show up for a voluntary thing, why can't they just have this at the police station or the sheriff's department or wherever else? Why does this have to be an actual roadblock that you encounter? But you know, it is your right as an American to give people your DNA. So if you are foolish enough to be high and drunk and, you know, give your DNA to the officer, I guess that's your business. Or if you just want the $50 or whatever, that's your business. But for more on this, we got this article. Man charged with DUI despite blowing .000 during breathalyzer test. Now, this is a situation. A gentleman was pulled over, you know, maybe he was driving erratically, I don't know, I wasn't there. But the gentleman was pulled over, the officer says, hey, why are your eyes red? The guy says, hey man, I've just been swimming at the pool, I got stuff in my eyes, now my eyes are a little bloodshot. And then the officer says, will you take the test, you know, the turn and walk test? The guy says, hey man, I'm not trying to impede your investigation, I just have bad hips, I got bad knees. The guy was swimming, he wasn't out playing contact football. And so the guy had some bad knees, and he really couldn't do the test, you know, the way the officer wanted. The man was taken to the police station. They initiated a sobriety test. They found out the man was completely sober, but, you know, he was taken to jail anyway. And this is just another way they're trying to get everybody into the system. We've done the reports here. This is actually one of my first reports I did here coming to the InfoWar, the no-refusal DUI weekends, where they just pull you over. Hey, sir, have you been drinking? No, I haven't been drinking. We're going to draw your blood anyway. Well, sir, I don't want to give you my blood. We're going to take your blood anyway. And then they say it's completely constitutional for them to take your blood. And in some places they do it 365 days a year. And that's just the police state coming home to you. But, you know, there's no tyranny. There's no imagined tyranny. Was that quote, the imagined tyranny? I think that was Harry Reid who said that. And Obama has similar quotes and all these guys do. But we'll move on to our last article of the night. New state, Weld County floats secession plan for northeastern Colorado. The people of rural Colorado are mad, and they have every right to be, said Cory Gardner, a Republican from Yuma. The governor and his Democrat colleagues are in the state house, have assaulted our way of life, and I don't blame these people one bit for feeling attacked and unrepresented by the leaders of our state. We'll scroll down a little bit. But some people see it as a ploy to raise the long-term political capital of those involved in the proposed move, or worse, it's a bad joke. And one of the professors there called it, it was just a joke. Said it's going to be crackpot-topia. Yeah, there it is right there on your screen. So it's just a crackpot-topia of people who don't want to, I'm not exactly sure what the, you know, individual's reason for seceding, but, you know, we've had a similar movement here in Texas that was ignored by the higher up. So we'll see how this goes. And for more on this, we have Gigi Arnetta's report.
Recently on InfoWars, we reported on Sheriff Nick Finch, who refused to enforce Florida's unconstitutional gun laws, ended up spending the night in his own jail for standing up for the Second Amendment, and then was forcibly removed by Governor Scott. So will the sheriffs in Colorado get the same kind of treatment that Florida gave Sheriff Nick Finch? In Colorado, 54 sheriffs filed a lawsuit against the new gun laws put in place by Governor Hickenlooper. Not only do the gun laws violate the Second Amendment, but the way it's drafted also violates the 14th Amendment and the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. So what will happen when they stand up for the Second Amendment? Will they spend the night in the slammer? The Weld County Commissioners voted not to enact any ordinance which prohibits individuals from exercising Second Amendment rights. They also have plans for Northern Colorado to secede from Colorado, and it looks like the issue will be on the ballot this fall. Changes to gun laws and the push of renewable energy standards that the area could not fiscally sustain prompted the initiation of the secession process. The people of rural Colorado are mad, and they have a right to be, said Representative Gardner. Parts of Nebraska are considering joining North Colorado to be part of the state. Remember, sign up for PrisonPlanet.tv, and you can give your username and password to up to 10 people. I'm Gigi Arnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Thanks, Gigi. And it'll be interesting to watch the developments as this thing plays out. Now we move on now to our quote of the day. This is from PJ Rourke. If we're looking for the source of our troubles, we shouldn't test people for drugs. We should test them for stupidity, ignorance, greed, and the love of power. PJ O'Rourke. And that's the end of our news portion. I want to thank Leanne McAdoo for sitting in with us and telling us her Bilderberg stories. And speaking of Bilderberg, we have this right here. The InfoWars magazine has the double cover, the Bilderberg edition. Be sure to check that out at theinfowarsshop.com. And also check out prisonplanet.tv. You can get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can keep up with some of the latest events, such as Bilderberg, as well as many other things. The rant section, of course, is regularly updated. And, yeah, that weird thing. Oh, man, I would want to stay in that hotel. Anyway, but, man, that's a whole nother story. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break with Sheriff Richard Mack.
Hey, now you can watch the Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants, fruits, vegetables, nuts, you name it. And the globalists have been going after gardening. They've been harassing people that have gardens in their front yards or their backyards. They've called for licenses for people to have gardens because you can't trust prisoners in the police state America to be able to grow their own food. That's why I've come to the realization that we need to become self-sufficient. You need to be informed. You need to have the Second Amendment to protect yourself. You need to be politically active to wake up others. You need to filter your water. But you also need to plant a garden. Even if you live in an apartment, you can do this. If you live in the countryside, obviously you can do it on a grand scale. There are so many green belts in areas that humans don't even visit, nearby cities and in suburbs, where people are now more and more planting their own little private gardens and meadows and off the side of the road. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live and to plant a garden.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest of times. The ARC All-in-One Seed Kit contains 70 varieties of 50,000 seeds of fruits, vegetables, medicinal, and culinary herbs. All ARC seeds are heirloom. Each type is labeled and sealed separately for ease of use and longevity. The Deluxe Emergency Seed Bank combines three of Emergency Seed Bank's top sellers: the Family Survival Emergency Seed Bank, the Medicinal Herb Seeds Pack, and the Culinary Herb Seeds Pack. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, and medicinal herbs and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
A little seed can grow a huge tree that produces fruit for up to 50 years. We have the best life bombs. That's what these are. We have the best weapons against death out there at the lowest prices, waiting for you to lovingly plant them and lovingly grow them and lovingly eat them and share them with others. We will strike back against the New World Order, and this is only one more initiative in our fight against them. So please join us at InfoWarsShop.com, or you can link through at InfoWars.com at the InfoWars Seed Center.
Now you can watch the InfoWars nightly news streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is no stranger to the show. He is Sheriff Richard Mack. You can go to the InfoWars shop and pick up his book, Sheriff Mack's The Magic of Gun Control. Now he's going to be discussing with us the Florida sheriff who had been suspended for respecting a man's Second Amendment rights, as well as many other topics. He joins us now via phone. Thanks for joining us, Sheriff.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely appreciate you coming back on our show. Now, Sheriff, we have many topics we want to address, but first off, I saw this article on your site just last week. Florida sheriff arrested after defending Second Amendment. Now, we've reported on this here at InfoWars.com, but Sheriff, do you have any new information on this?
Well, I've talked to the sheriff several times. I've talked to his lawyer several times, and again today, even though I was in Albany, New York, for a big Second Amendment rally, this is what happened. A deputy sheriff stopped a man for a traffic stop. The probable cause for that stop was a little bit suspect, and according to the sheriff there, very suspect. He didn't agree with the probable cause, but the deputy fudged a little bit on the probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Parrish, who was arrested at the time, had a gun in his car, and it was readily visible. The officer saw it. Mr. Parrish, the citizen, said, "Yes, I have a gun on the seat." And then the deputy asked him if he had another weapon in the car. He said, "I have one in my pocket." And so the deputy took him out, and first team shook him down, took both guns, ran them NCIC, and then decided to arrest Mr. Parrish because he doesn't have a concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheriff Finch does not believe that the Second Amendment is subject to a permission slip from government. And so he didn't believe that the probable cause for the original stop was solid.
Right.
He didn't believe that there was probable cause for frisking the man physically and doing a TSA search.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't believe that the man should be arrested. He's not a criminal. He had no criminal intent.
Right.
And Sheriff Finch had never met this man before. Sheriff Finch took office January 1st of this year. He's trying to do a good job, and he doesn't believe in violating the Second Amendment.
Now, Sheriff, before we go any further, we'll talk about the actions of Sheriff Finch. But in your opinion, we have a traffic stop, and one of your officers, one of your deputies, asked the gentleman, do you have a firearm? Do you condone that action, just asking if the man has a firearm in his vehicle?
No, never, never. In fact, I told my deputies, you consider everybody armed. You don't go up and ask somebody if they're armed, and they tell you no, then you don't think they're armed. That's absurd. That's stupid law enforcement.
Right.
And that's stupid police work. You never think that. And not only that, because you find out that a guy has one gun, he could have two or three more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shows you one and shoots you with the other.
Right.
So it just doesn't make any sense for cops to do that.
And, okay, Sheriff, now as far as...
I know that they do it nationwide.
Right. Now, Sheriff, as far as being arrested for that charge, having a concealed weapon in his vehicle, do you see any problem with that?
No, there's no problem with that whatsoever. You can keep and bear arms however you like. In fact, I recommend that people who have guns keep them concealed. It creates much less alarm than having guns sit out and you happen to explain to everybody why you have a gun on. Or if you wear a gun downtown on the street, which is totally legal in many states in this country, especially Arizona where I live, people are going to ask you, what do you have a gun on for? Or they're going to call 911. This man has a gun. So what? It's legal, it's lawful, and it's appropriate, and it's a guaranteed right.
Exactly. Now, Sheriff, you were in your story. You're telling us what happened after Nick Finch heard about this incident.
Well, when Sheriff Finch heard about it, he went down to the jail, and he looked at the booking sheet, and he verified the information, and he didn't like what he saw. So he... What I term unarrested the man, and he released him, and he did away with the charges. If you do that, you're certainly within your right as a sheriff to do that. You run the sheriff's office. The deputy works for you. That's what a deputy means. It means you're working in his stead. So he said, we're not going to arrest this man for that. He's not a criminal. And so he would also be inclined to destroy the booking sheet upon which are the records that this man was arrested.
Now, well, Sheriff, if we can stop right there and clarify, if you can clarify for us. So at the point Nicholas Finch, the sheriff, goes and he says, hey, this man shouldn't have been arrested in the first place, does that null and void the arrest completely?
Of course it does. Yeah, that's what the sheriff's job is.
Okay.
And I've done similar things. You know, you tell your deputies, I told my deputies not to write tickets for people not wearing a seatbelt. If they did, I got rid of it. You know, it was the law, but supposed law. But I believe that that is something that people should choose on their own.
Exactly.
And here, the sheriff makes the choices as to who is arrested in his office. He is the constitutionally elected sheriff of that county.
Exactly. Now, Sheriff, if we can move on, we have some other topics we have to get to. So I just want to talk about Nicholas Finch. He releases the man back out onto the street, and what happened after that with the governor?
Well, then two or three of the deputies within the sheriff's office who didn't want Sheriff Finch to be elected in the first place, you know, that's very common to have enemies within, and you're not always able to get rid of them. And so they're not loyal, they're not, they don't support you, but they still do their job. Okay, so these deputies complained to the Florida Division of Law Enforcement, the state agency. They investigated the sheriff without ever interviewing the sheriff. They filed charges against the sheriff. The attorney general filed charges, and they arrested Sheriff Finch for a felony for destroying public records. What a farce.
Yes.
Then they, the governor of the state suspended Sheriff Finch and suspended him without pay.
Wow.
So he is no longer on the job.
Does he have any plans to get back in the saddle? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, he does. He plans to fight this. His attorney is Jim Judkins out of Tallahassee. Liberty County is close to Tallahassee. And quite frankly, this is just the way it is. We are proceeding with this. Sheriff Finch is going to fight this all the way. He is not going to take a plea bargain. He wants his job back. He wants his reputation back. And he wants to be back in the office that the people of Liberty County elected him to do.
Exactly. Now, Sheriff, do you know if there's any way to support Sheriff Finch? Does he have a website or anything that people can contact him through?
He doesn't yet. We're raising money for him at CSPOA. So if you would like to make a donation, just make it to Sheriff Finch. Just go to CSPOA.org. That's Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And when it asks you for notes, or just say, put Sheriff Finch. So you can make it sure that it's flagged to Sheriff Finch. And we are trying to raise money for him desperately. He's going to be out of money very soon,
yes,
as he has no other job. And he and his family are going to be pretty tight for money. And paying his attorneys is going to be something that we're going to help with also.
Okay, definitely glad to see that on your side right there. Now, Sheriff, we'll move on to some other topics. Now, you're, or at least you were, in New York this week. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, I'm still in Albany. We just left the state capitol about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, now tell us what you're doing up there.
Well, it's the SAFE Act is the gun control law that New York and Cuomo and Bloomberg all were supporting here. It makes it illegal to have an assault rifle or any kind of magazine that's over 7 rounds.
Right.
Including law enforcement, by the way, and the law enforcement community is really upset.
Yeah, that was a pretty big oversight. You don't allow your law officers to carry sufficient number of rounds.
So anyway, we met with some sheriffs today. There's a lot of good sheriffs here. And get this, 52 out of the 62 counties in New York State have opposed the SAFE Act. And you know, these are all these politicians, they want to call it the SAFE Act. Mm-hmm. What it is really, it's the Arrest the Law-Abiding Citizen Act. It's
right.
The Arrest the Law-Abiding Gun Owner Act. And it has nothing to do with safety, as you very well know, things that we've talked about on Alex Jones' show numerous times, talking about how gun control does not keep us safer.
Exactly. And a journalist, if I can interrupt you, Sheriff, a journalist... Yeah. Confronted Mayor Bloomberg and said, Mayor Bloomberg, will you have your private security force disarmed or have them carry fewer than 7 rounds? And he said, I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. And the sheriffs were being so strong in opposing Governor Cuomo and the others here that, get this, Governor Cuomo called in some of the sheriffs and actually told them to shut up mm-hmm. and get on board. And then he denied saying it.
I believe that. They're trying to muscle the sheriffs around, but we can see sheriffs like yourself, sheriffs like Nick Finch, many others we've had on the show are just not putting up with this.
Well, yeah, of course, and no sheriff in the country should. And so finally we have these sheriffs who are standing and doing what's right. You know, Sheriff Finch didn't call me and say, hey, I want a lot of publicity because I released a man.
Mm-hmm.
He was just doing his job. He didn't ask for any publicity. He didn't ask for any awards or plaques. He was just doing his job, and now we find out he got arrested, so we are coming to his aid. We are hoping every sheriff does the exact same thing in their counties.
Exactly, because that's what Alex was talking about. You know, we asked people like yourself and other sheriffs, and not just sheriffs, but other officials to come to our aid and stand up for what's right. And, you know, when the times get tough,
you know,
we have to support people.
And I know Alex has done the same thing. We've heard of state nullification. This is sheriff nullification, and it's absolutely true and something he should be doing, and I'm thrilled that sheriffs all across this country are now doing it.
Exactly. Now, Sheriff, we have to move on to some other topics. I want to ask you briefly, you're probably familiar with Austin Police Commissioner Art Acevedo. We had him on, actually I had a chance to meet him about a month or so ago, and he said his law is to enforce the laws as passed. Now, he is he's in the police department, you're in the sheriff's department, but do you agree with that statement that his job is to enforce the laws as passed?
For some of these elected sheriffs that are saying we would not, who is part of what branch am I? Executive branch. You can't say that you stand for the Constitution as an elected sheriff, law enforcement official, as part of the executive branch, invoke the Constitution in terms of the Second Amendment and turn around and absolutely ignore the rest of our 200 years of law that talks about the separation of powers. You are the executive branch. Whether you like it or not, your job is to enforce the law as passed.
Well, is he ever going to keep his oath of office? I want to ask him that. But I want to ask him also, If he was the chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955 when Rosa Parks was arrested for failing to give her seat to a white man, mm-hmm. would he enforce that law too?
Well,
would he have arrested Rosa Parks?
Well, that'd be a good question. He says he wants to enforce the law. It's ass pass. I'm not putting any words in his mouth. That's his quote.
Yeah, that was a law. That was a law. Is he going to arrest everybody for jaywalking? Is he going to arrest everybody who rolls through a stop sign? Is he going to arrest everybody who now New York has implemented a law called annoy a cop and go to jail?
Yeah, that's a good one. So, I'm glad you brought that up, Sheriff. What do you think about that one?
That's got to be the epitome of insanity, even for New York. And so when I spoke at the rally today, that's the first thing I said. I had to come here and find out if New York is so stupid as to make a law against annoying a cop.
Right.
So these police officers, nobody, not that chief and nobody else, enforces all laws. That's absolutely absurd. We don't do it. We're not robots. We're not programmed. We are people. And to lose our sense of humanity and compassion is the worst thing any cop can do. And for anybody to get up and say, I enforce all laws and that's my job, first thing I'll say is he's a liar because that's not true. And secondly, I want to ask, would you arrest Rosa Parks, and would you arrest her today if that was still the law?
Well, if we ever get him back on, we'll ask him that question. Now, Sheriff, we'll move on. I have this article right here, if we can pull this up. Man charged with DUI despite blowing .000 during breathalyzer test. I'm not sure if you heard about this one, Sheriff. This was a gentleman. He was arrested, just like it says, he had bloodshot eyes, but he had bloodshot eyes because he had been swimming earlier. He encounters an officer during a stop. The officer says, give me the breath test. He passes the breath test, but he's arrested anyway because he had bloodshot eyes.
Well, it's going to be really hard for that charge to stick, obviously, but if he could document a horrible driving pattern and other probable cause, then the officer might be justified. But if he can't prove any other drugs, and if he can't prove any level of intoxication, then somebody else needs to step in and do the Sheriff Finch thing and unarrest that man.
Exactly. Now, Sheriff, in closing, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air. You're investigating or a part of an investigation with Sheriff Arpaio?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that, sir?
Well, we just had our convention in St. Charles, Missouri, and so we wanted to hear the truth, and I've already seen this before because I have been close with Sheriff Arpaio in Phoenix, and he is a good friend of mine. And so I've looked at the evidence before, and I wanted to show all our other police officers and sheriffs the same evidence and have them decide for themselves as to whether or not the birth certificate released by the White House regarding the birth of Barack Obama, if it really is fraudulent. And it appears to me that it absolutely is.
Now, Sheriff, can you elaborate a little bit on the evidence that you found? Because a lot of people, they hear, these birthers, you know, these guys are beating a dead horse. What information have you found?
Well, he's found a lot. First of all, they've taken off 9 layers of the birth certificate. And in doing so, they have found that the person who did it, who actually did this fraudulent birth certificate, did not have the correct chronological order of the new number system back in 1961 or 62, whenever it was, that was used by the health department in Hawaii at the time. So first, the chronological order of the number system on the birth certificate does not match. And then you also look at the font system used by, not computers back then, because there was only typewriters back then.
Right.
If you look at the font used by the typewriters back in those days, it doesn't match either. And there's lots and lots of other things that add to this, some circumstantial, but there's so much more evidence that is irrefutable that would stand up in any court of law. And I will say the same thing that Sheriff Arpaio told me. I don't know where Barack Obama was born. We have not investigated where he was born. What we investigated was the birth certificate released by the White House saying that claiming he was born in Hawaii.
Okay.
There might be another birth certificate. Maybe they couldn't find his old birth certificate. Maybe his mom lost it. But the birth certificate released by the White House that was on their website saying this is his birth certificate is a lie, a fake, and a fraud.
Now, Sheriff,
and what I can't believe is that more people aren't paying more attention to this story.
Exactly. Now, if people are interested in the birth certificate, where can they find more information on that?
Well, I don't think that anything has actually been published, but if they want to email me, I can email them back what I have. I'm actually meeting with Detective Zulo next week. I was supposed to meet with him yesterday, but I decided to come out to New York and help the people here save their Second Amendment.
That's right. So that's very important.
If any of them want to email me, that's fine, and that's Sheriff Mack at Hotmail.
All right. Now, Sheriff Mack, can you give us your closing thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what. I really think that this is, Dickens said in The Tale of Two Cities, this is the best of times, and it's the worst of times. We actually have sheriffs standing. We have other public officials standing for the holy cause of liberty and standing for their oath of office and the Constitution. We have living proof now that this is working. And I ask everyone to join me at the CSPOA, CSPOA.org, and help us continue this tremendous effort, this tremendous movement to restore freedom to America, one sheriff, one county at a time. It's starting to work. You can do it. Please join with us. And I want to thank Alex and you for all the support that you've given us. And please believe and please have hope for America because this is starting to work.
All right. Sheriff Mack, SheriffMack.com. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
There goes Sheriff Richard Mack, somebody who's been fighting for Second Amendment rights for a long time. Not just Second Amendment rights, just all rights for free people. And more on that, you can go to the InfoWars shop and pick up his book, Sheriff Mack's The Magic of Gun Control. He dedicated this to Rosa Parks and others, not just people who stand up for the Second Amendment rights, but all rights. And also check out his site, SheriffMack.com. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. Thanks to Sheriff Mack, the great crew, and also Leanne McAdoo for giving us that Bilderberg breakdown. I'm Ja'Kari Jackson, and we'll see you next time.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.